America, welcome back to the show. We're talking about the anthrax letters that occurred immediately after the attack on the World Trade Towers during 9/11. And basically, these anthrax letters emptied out Congress, didn't give them time to read any bills, and they went through and they basically voted in the Patriot Act, and everybody said, oh, gosh darn Muslims, let's attack Afghanistan and everything, and just threw the government into a panic and a disarray. And it turned out that the anthrax came from Fort Detrick. The U.S. government's own biological weapons laboratory is the source of the anthrax that was in those letters. The letters were written to look like they came from semi-literate Muslims, and they had praise to Allah and horrible penmanship and death to America and all this. They look more like movie props, really, than real genuine letters from Muslims, because most Muslims I know have excellent penmanship and they're very literate people. So it was almost a joke how these things looked. So anyway, the original official suspect was Stephen Hatfield. Then there was Dr. Ayad Assad. And then there was Bruce Ivins, who, once he was dead and no longer able to defend himself, the FBI said, yep, he was the one, and they closed the case. And now it's coming out that there never was any evidence at all for Stephen Hatfield being the anthrax letters author source. There was absolutely no evidence that Dr. Assad had anything to do with it. He was the victim of an anonymous smear letter. And now we're getting this information that's coming out today that a chemical marker inside the anthrax in those letters cannot be linked with Bruce Ivins. Now there's a fourth suspect, a guy by the name of Dr. Philip Zack, who was also working in that Fort Detrick lab. But he got fired because apparently he did not like Dr. Ayad Assad, who's Egyptian. And there was a lot of racial bashing going on. They called Dr. Assad and his friends the Camel Club. And, you know, they like, do little infantile things like plastic camels taped to his locker at work. And Dr. Philip Zack was relieved of his position. After he had lost his job, Philip Zack was caught on a security camera going into the lab where the anthrax used in the letters was caught. This was all reported in the January 20th, 2002 issue of the Hartford Courant. There was an obvious effort to try and erase the information in the security system regarding the entry, but they failed. That's why they trapped this guy. Security guard reported him, and the FBI went out of their way not to investigate him. Instead, following the lead provided, you know, helpfully by Dr. Barbara Rosenberg, they went after Stephen Hatfield, and they made his life an absolute living hell. They even went so far as to drain a pond near his home on this ludicrous idea that he had assembled the anthrax letters underwater. By the way, weaponized anthrax is one of the most anhydrous materials possible. A single drop of water will destroy it. It won't disperse. It'll just sit there in a puddle, absolutely harmless, unless you pick it up and rub it on your skin or something. And by the way, for it to really kill you, you have to inhale it. If you put it on your skin, it's easy to cure. But I digress. So then they went on to Dr. Assad on the basis of an anonymous smear letter from somebody who didn't like Dr. Assad, and gee, I wonder who that might have been. And then finally they settled on Bruce Ivins. And there's no evidence for any of these guys. And once Ivins was dead, the FBI said, oh, it must have been him. Case solved. And they closed the file. And now it's coming back. Yeah, they were framing Bruce Ivins as well. Meanwhile, Dr. Philip Zack, the one guy actually caught in the lab where the anthrax was kept without authorization, he's the invisible man. They don't dare go near him. We can't talk to Dr. Zack. They'll accuse us of being anti-Semites. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to start taking phone calls in this next section.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. And you gotta have proof. Just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we're going to take a couple of phone calls. Clinton, Nevada. Aloha, Clint. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Two things, Mike. First, the anthrax thing we were talking about. Artie Fleischer, I believe, admitted that George Bush was on Cipro, given to him by Dick Cheney's staff, weeks before the first anthrax ever came about.
The whole White House was.
Yeah.
The whole White House was put on Cipro before the anthrax letters were even mailed.
Absolutely. So that's kind of prima facie evidence right there. The second thing, when we form our new country, tell me what your thoughts on this are, that one of the deals in our Constitution that media companies have to be standalone companies. They cannot have parent companies or be subsidiaries of any other corporation or any other interest, particularly banks or and stuff like that.
It used to be that way, but we used to have laws in the United States of America that preserved a diversity of media ownership in order to preserve a diversity of political opinion so that no one corporation could dominate the political discussion. And starting in the Clinton administration, again, it's just like what Congress did with Glass-Steagall, a good regulation that was passed, in the wake of the crash of 1929. We had all these laws to preserve media diversity, and starting in the Clinton administration, they were rescinded one by one by one. And all the media corporations had to do was to promise to report the news the way the government wanted it reported, and they were allowed to be these build these big centralized news organizations. Now we have documented military intelligence operatives, propaganda experts from the military, actually working in the newsrooms of places like CNN and various places like that. So you're absolutely right. That's what we should do. And we did have it before, but we got betrayed by the Congress of the United States of America.
Mike, I believe when George Bush admitted that he saw the first plane hit the first tower on TV before he went into the classroom, after that, there was a military officer in CNN for the next 2 years. Tell me if I was that's true.
Well, I don't know if it was after he made that gaffe about seeing the first plane hit the tower. Actually, I think they already had some of them in there. I mean, first of all, we're bypassing Operation Mockingbird, which is the operation the Central Intelligence Agency started right after the end of World War II to make sure that all of the major media in the country was under the control covertly of the Central Intelligence Agency. And, a lot of these people came out of Skull and Bones fraternity, like, Bob Kaiser at the Washington Post, who was the guy who spiked that story about the government-linked drug smuggling down there in Mena, Arkansas. When I was at CBS Television City, I got approached. They tried to recruit me. And when I saw what a bunch of real scumbags they are, I said, thank you, no. And that was kind of the end of that situation. That has been there all along. But this positioning of military propaganda people at CNN and the other major newsrooms, these giant centralized news sources, and Fox News is definitely another one of them. Yeah, that kind of really cranked up during the Clinton and Bush administration.
Yeah. I'll let you go, Mike.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, you were talking earlier about radiation and food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a garden every year. Well, this year, as we began learning, before I had time to get my crop in the ground because, ground was still frozen, we were hearing about S-510 and stuff like that. Well, normally, see, I'm just a single guy. I live alone, so I usually just grow enough to feed myself and be able to trade for things I need throughout the year. Well, what I did this year was I decided I'm going to triple my crop so that I have enough back stock to provide for people who are in positions where they can't grow gardens but still have something that they can provide so we can work as a community to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, luckily enough, I still had about the same amount of seed that I already had in the ground that I've spent the past week because of Fukushima planting more crops. So now I've got enough crop in the ground to feed about, 3 dozen people.
Okay.
For a year. Now, what I want to do is I want to challenge America. I don't care if you live in a city, country area, wherever you live. Everybody, turn your front yard into a garden. And then when they come to your door in their pretty black suits with their pretty black sunglasses and tell you, you can't do them, you do what we're going to do here where I live, you meet them at the front door with a shotgun.
Well, that's one way of dealing with it. Unfortunately, believe it or not, you're already the government does not want you to grow your own food because if you have food at hand, then you don't have to do what you're told. The government wants to control your water, your electricity, your communications, your food, your medicine, because that way you will do as you are told to do. And this idea of growing food and trading for things in your own community, believe it or not, the government doesn't want that to happen because they can't tax barter. They've been trying to find some way they can go out and do taxing on things like yard sales and garage sales and just people trading stuff back and forth. The U.S. government, that is all considered taxable activity, and they're trying to find a way to do that. And our government would rather see the country hanging on the verge of starvation than ever loosen those chains on them and say, look, we're going to have to let you go take care of yourselves. And again, that's money junkie thinking. That's not thinking about community. That's not thinking about what is good for planet Earth. That's the money junkies saying the only globalist society is our globalist society, and we're going to have it that way, okay?
Oh, you're exactly right. And, my yard, I don't have a very big yard, but my whole yard every year is a garden. My dog has to you know, thank God I live out in the country, so I don't use a chain or nothing. My dog just runs the woods and has a grand old time, but she don't run the yard because the whole yard's a garden. And this is what people need to start figuring out. And
yeah.
Thankfully, I'm one of those lucky ones. We have well water, and I can access my well with a bucket. So I'm a little bit fortunate
well,
there.
That is definitely a good thing. Right now, aquifer water is probably the safest water that you can be drinking right now. If you're drinking water coming through a sewage treatment plant, then you're basically getting water that is already exposed to the fallout that's coming down from the sky. Not to mention, of course, all the pharmaceuticals that your neighbors are peeing into their toilets and stuff. Aquifer water, well water is definitely, you know, the better way to go. Again, here in Hawaii, we are so lucky because our tap water comes out of these wells up in these little watersheds that they very carefully preserved here on the island. And if you're going to be drinking bottled water, you got to make sure that it's really coming from a well or some other spring source, and it's not just tap water. They've run through some filters and put some flavoring in to make it look like it's healthy. You got to be really careful about reading those labels. Any water that is exposed to the sky is potentially contaminated.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I don't care what community you live in, Mike. Anybody will tell you, no matter where you live, folks, just look around. You've got rivers and streams and lakes and ponds. You can get water without having to use your spigot. There are ways around
well,
this.
Again, ponds and creeks and rivers are open to the sky.
Yeah.
Okay?
Smarter than
you know.
Today.
Okay, if you're having to get your water from an open source, you need to distill it.
Yeah.
You need to distill it so that the solids and particulates are left in the still, and what comes out, you know, is going to be safer to drink. And I got to tell you, pure distilled water is really horrible to drink. You may want to run it through a Brita because they actually add minerals into it to make it taste better. You got to have some stuff in the water, or it's really very unpleasant to drink.
Yeah.
But if you're having to get your water from a sewage treatment plant, if you're having to get it from any kind of an open source, you might want to think about getting a still, even a solar still. You know, if you've got enough property where you can set up a solar still, that's going to be a lot better for you than just dipping it out of a river, you know, as the fallout continues to increase.
Exactly. And, I mean, even if you don't have, like, the ability to keep the electricity flowing to keep your distiller going, a car alternator with a exercise bicycle and the right equipment, you can create your own power. And if you got overweight people in your community who want to lose weight, here's a great way to do it. Keep the distillery running.
Well, that's a lot of bicycle cranking for a distill. That's why I was suggesting a solar still, because that way you don't have to worry about electricity. It just takes a patch of ground, and, you know, you can pour your water into the ground around the solar still and have it distilled into your catch bucket. And these are survival tactics and things.
I'm one of those ones that doesn't have the kind of money that I can afford to be buying things like that, so I have to find creative ways of accomplishing my goal.
Now, wait a minute. Lee, a solar still, I'm not talking solar cells or anything like that. You need to Google the phrase solar still. All it is, it's a sheet of flexible plastic and some stones and a pit in the ground with a bucket in it.
I do that when I go camping.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. No electricity required, no solar. We're not talking solar cells or anything like that. It's called a solar still, and it uses sunlight to basically evaporate water in the soil and drain it into the bucket in the middle, and it is a very effective way of purifying water. You can urinate on the soil around there and get clean water out of this thing.
Things like that, and you throw it down in the pit and cover it back over and set your rock in the middle. It'll take all the moisture right out of the crop and drop it in your bucket in the center below your dip. I mean, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Now, I thought you were talking about like an actual solar, you know.
No. I'm talking about very simple, very basic using solar power. It's about as green as you can get.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
to
preserve your water. All right, we're coming up on a break here. Lee, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. When we're going to come back, I want to talk about Big Apple is watching you. The growing fury and anger that smartphones may, in fact, be keeping a record of all your travels for government to basically, you know, look at whenever they feel like, without a warrant, anything like that. And a lot of people are very, very upset about that. We're going to be talking about that when we get back from these words from our sponsors. So we're going to take a commercial break. Stay tuned.
Only Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, starting yesterday, security researchers released information that the iPhone is keeping a record of everywhere you go using its internal GPS, and it keeps a file on the iPhone, which is synchronized to your desktop PC, with a record of every place you have taken that phone for as long as you have owned it. And apparently, this is intentional, because when you upgrade to a new phone, that file is moved along with you as you migrate to the new phone. And this has really upset a lot of people. Apple is refusing to say what this capability is in there for. Now, I think this is something the government has asked them to do, because we know the government has a long history of going to these computer makers and demanding that backdoors be put in so the government can go into your computer and smartphone and spy on you on everything you're doing. I don't remember, those of you who have been around this business for a while will remember the scandal over NSA key that was accidentally disclosed as being buried inside Microsoft Windows encryption architecture to allow the NSA to come in and basically read encrypted traffic that was being sent using Microsoft standard encryption practices. The encryption standard for cell phones uses a 16-bit encryption key. And when it first came out, the high order 8 bits of all the keys were set to zero, so that in actuality it was only an 8-bit key, which meant brute force cracking it by specialized equipment that the NSA had was virtually instantaneous. And it's all about giving the government the means to peek in and look at what you're doing here. And Apple's refusing to discuss this. Now, Congressman Inslee has gone public saying that he wants Apple to answer questions about why the iPhone is spying on the users. This is an important thing to watch. Because if this story goes away, if Congressman Inslee all of a sudden just goes silent and goes away, that will basically tell us, yeah, this is something mandated by the government. I mean, think about it. Most people don't actually use the speakerphone capacity on the cell phone. Why isn't it in every single cell phone being sold? Because it justifies the inclusion of a microphone that's able to hear the entire room. And we already know that the U.S. government is able to remotely go into your cell phone and turn on that microphone and listen to you without the phone giving out any sign or indication that it's actually doing that. That has been documented many times in investigations. Which say, we got this organized crime figure because we got... And they basically talk about this stuff. We know there are companies that sell specialized software to basically exploit these loopholes, like the one that the Michigan police are carrying around now, which, by the way, comes from a company in Israel. You know, our good old friends, the Israelis, are figuring out one more way to basically intrude on our privacy and keep an eye on us. And I was looking at this whole thing about the Apple iPhone spying on us all, and I think we can safely presume that Android is also doing it, and it's been confirmed that iPad with 3G and GPS is doing it. Probably all the smartphones are doing it. iPhone is just the one that got busted first. But I was it calls to mind, back in 1984, the year 1984, we had the movie about George Orwell's 1984 came out, and there was this Apple commercial, because 1984 was the year they debuted the Macintosh with the mouse and windowing interface that revolutionized the home computer experience. And they came out with this commercial that was based on 1984, which is this, you know, this dystopian society. And I've got it linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com, where, you know, they've got this 1984 society and tyrants and dictators and Big Brother on the screen, and this very sexy girl in shorts runs in with a hammer and smashes the screen. And silly me, you know, I didn't understand that from Apple's point of view, the girl was the villain. And this society of marching, you know, pajama-clad slaves watching the dictator, you know, Apple was warning us, the world that they were trying to bring about with this. And silly us, we rooted for the girl, we bought their computers, and now the computers are spying on us. So I create a little poster that says, "The Big Apple is watching." Sort of my little takeoff on George Orwell there. So, and I know the people in New York are going to be upset. No, we're the Big Apple. So, you know, you're the friendly Big Apple. We're talking about the evil Big Apple out there in California, and it's now watching us here. I'm making up a little iPhone app with the little spy eyes. You've seen that gag around on websites. I'm making one to go on the iPhone. As soon as I have it done, it'll be up at the website, and you can download and play with it for free. All right, moving right along here. Let's see. As I mentioned earlier, that device that the police in Michigan now have to basically loot your iPhone of, rather your smartphone of all of its information. They pull you over for a traffic stop without a warrant, and they just take this machine, they plug it into your phone, and it reads off everything, including all the deleted files. And it turns out this device they're using is made in Israel. It's something Israel has made, and they're selling it around the world to give to police departments to basically empty out the contents of your cell phone. Without your permission, without a warrant, without any civil protection, without a right to privacy. This is what Israel is trying to sell as the new normal. You have no right to privacy because you might be harboring anti-Semitic thoughts. And so we're going to just give we're going to give all the police and the guards and everything the ability to peek at you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it really is the society of 1984 that they're bringing down around our heads. This constant, you know, I'm wondering if the governor of Michigan has special ties with Israel, that he would do this to his own people. I hope they vote him out. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive. And you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home, all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here now. The other day, I was mentioning how this very bizarre situation over in the schools of Seattle, where teachers who wanted to bring in treats for the holiday for their school children were told that they're not allowed to refer to the Easter Bunny or Easter eggs. These are now spring spheres and the spring bunny, and it just seemed like the height of utter absurdity. Now we're hearing from other parts of the country exactly the same thing. This is a national push to rebrand Easter as a spring celebration. You can't use the word Easter anymore, apparently. It's politically incorrect. It offends a certain religious group. Therefore, we may not do it, even though this religious group only represents 2% of the population. And even though the Constitution specifically says no one religion will be given favor over any other, we must do as we're told. The spring bunny has been made politically correct. Now, I'll be the first one to admit there really isn't a linkage between rabbits and the Christian tradition. But don't you think this is a little absurd? I mean, I'm an atheist, and I'm not offended by Easter bunnies. I put them in the same category as Darth Vader and the Loch Ness Monster. They're pleasant little fictions that we like to play with. I'm not offended by somebody who goes around saying Happy Easter or Merry Christmas, for that matter. And neither are any of the Muslims, Shinto, Hindus, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, Rastas, Wiccans, Druids, Unitarians, or Scientologists that I know. We all understand that peace is accomplished by acknowledging and respecting each other's religious traditions. This nation was founded on all religions being accorded equal status. No one religion has precedent over any other. Congress shall make no law respecting an institution of religion. If you pass a law saying that you may no longer call these Easter eggs, are you not granting respect to that religion that finds the word Easter offensive? So somewhere in our midst, we have this very selfish and self-centered segment of the population who demand all other religious symbols be concealed from view. We cannot bear to look at them. Our eyes will melt if we're forced to look at the religious symbols of other people. Close your eyes, wear sunglasses, stay indoors, get a helmet. The perversity of the universe does tend toward a maximum. I'm not offended by Easter bunnies or Easter eggs. I'm offended by those who have zero tolerance for other people's religions and points of view. And I'm wondering, where did we lose the Bill of Rights in the Constitution that said everybody is allowed to have the religion of their choice, or in my case, no religion? And yes, I have issues with corporatized, organized religion when it's used to enslave and exploit people and to shield child molesters. I do have a problem with that. But I don't care what you believe in your own home. And if you want to put Easter eggs on your front lawn, or if you want to put the flying spaghetti monster on your car, you have a right to do that under the First Amendment. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of these whiners going around saying, "You can't put that where I might see it. You doth offend mine eyes." Man, have we lost what used to be to be America when we put up with this kind of crap. Speaking of crap, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has finally nailed Global Horizons Manpower of Beverly Hills for basically human trafficking of Thai farm workers. Now, this is a story that actually affects us here in Hawaii because a lot of these workers were being brought here to labor in what remains of our agricultural industry in the islands and also in Washington State. And apparently they named Mordecai Orion, I'm probably mispronouncing that. Anyway, he's from Israel. And basically he was beating his workers, paying them pennies on the dollar, violation of minimum wage, and basically forced them to live where he told them to live, which he owned. He was basically running a company town. Violation of law after law after law after law, and he got away with it. So for the same reason that Rubashkin over at the meatpacking plant was getting away with it, because anytime somebody come over and said, "You're not treating your workers right," they'd say, "Oh, you're an anti-Semite." They'd get the ADL over there to say, "Oh, you're persecuting us," and blah, blah, blah. But they finally nailed this guy. And they really ought to. And the reason I bring this up is because there seems to be this tendency for this certain segment of the population to think that slavery is kind of cool. Whether you go back and you read it in the Old Testament. And by the way, little wrinkle a lot of people are not aware of. When it says servant in the Bible, that's a translation of the same word that means slave. And in the context of the ancient Hebrews, it's slave in the sense of an indentured servant. They may not own their bodies, but they own their labor. Kind of like indentured servitude here in the American colonies. It was not chattel slavery in the way that we think of in the American antebellum South. But it was still a form of slavery, and the word translates either way. We know that Jews were very much involved in the African slave trade here in the United States of America, and now we have this guy out here with the Thai workers. Seems to be kind of an ongoing traditional situation here. And you cannot prosper a world or a nation where a whole bunch of people are working and all the wealth goes to just a few. We need to go back to that wisdom of Henry Ford. The best way to become prosperous is to make the community around you prosperous. And as long as we have money junkies running around thinking that the entire world should work themselves to death and all the wealth should come to these favored few, we're going to have wars and poverty and revolution and happiness, unhappiness. We're going to have discord. You got to, especially in a world with instantaneous global communication, you have to have a fair and even-handed approach to the economies of towns and companies and nations. For an economy to work, the money must flow at all levels of society, not just continually sucked up into the pockets of a bunch of money junkies who have a private central bank. If the money is not flowing at all levels of the society is going to die. Just as if you tied a tourniquet around your neck to drive all the blood into your brain, and the brain would be really happy because it's getting all the oxygen and all the sugar and all the nutrients. But then the body dies and takes the brain with it anyway. And that's exactly what the money junkies are doing to this country. All right, we've got a call on the line. George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing all right.
You know about the student protesters? You know, the thing is, I went down, I talked to the students protesting, and I will tell you
Can we back up? Because I know what you're talking about here, but what we're talking about is the students across the country are starting to protest over the firing of teachers and saying, you know, maybe we ought to fire the government first before we fire the teachers, because the teachers do provide a service for the future and the government does not. And so we have all these protests taking place in several states, not just Texas. But please pick up from there, and we're talking about the Texas protesters.
Well, I found out when I talked to the students that they're very receptive to listen, and I told them who's responsible.
Yeah.
Who is responsible?
And I was the Wall Street mortgage fraudsters, right?
Yeah, and the Texas legislatures being the water carriers and the school board members who are in on this fraud too.
Mm-hmm. What did the students say to that?
Well, I just told them you need to go down to the school board and get the comprehensive annual financial report. You'll probably find out there's more than enough money for teachers. You know,
well, again, I want to caution against going off and looking at these comprehensive annual financial reports, because it's a dead-end trail like this, what was that, NESARA, the National Economic Stabilization and Recovery Act, which was this big hoax that was being perpetrated on the Internet community a while back. The comprehensive annual financial report is listing non-convertible assets. It shows a lot of dollar signs attached to things like buildings and various other hard assets and real estate, but they really are not convertible. The question isn't that there isn't wealth in the nation. The problem is liquidity. And the reason there is a liquidity crisis is because all the liquid cash has been sucked up by this mortgage-backed security fraud. So looking at CAFR, that's a dead end. The problem is not going to be solved looking there. We need to go back and look at the Wall Street mortgage-backed security fraud that destroyed the nation's economy. The reason why all these public worker pensions are suddenly a political issue is because they bought these products from Wall Street, because the government said it was really cool to do so, and now they're out of money. They can't meet their financial obligations. And so the states are saying, oh, well, let's just shut them down. Let's slap those teachers and police officers down and teach them. They have to be willing to share the sacrifice so that we can keep the Wall Street crooks out of jail. And it's absolutely, you know, it's pure fascism. The rich get richer and the poor are made to pay for everything. And again, why are we punishing teachers for the crimes of the Wall Street CEOs? And anytime you go and you talk to anybody and you put it in those terms, they don't have an answer for that. And they turn around and say, well, public education's terrible, and they're not really teaching our kids, and they're enjoying a much better lifestyle than bricklayers and garbage workers. And there's all these excuses they've come up with on the talking points about why we have to be nasty with the teachers. And they cannot explain why we're beating up on the teachers because Wall Street wrecked the economy. They can't justify the two. And again, you know, I don't want to make this a union versus non-union issue, because it really isn't. And I don't even like unions. This is about the poor being made to pay for the crimes of the rich. And if we let them get away with it with the teachers, next week it'll be the firefighters, and if we let them get away with it with all the union workers, and the week after that it'll be the non-union workers. It'll be bricklayers. It'll be carpenters. It'll be the people fixing the roads and the plumbers, and everybody is going to be shoved down to an absolute state of poverty. And, of course, that's not going to solve the economy at the state level, because if we're all making minimum wage, then tax revenues fall. They already have. Tax revenues are down one-third across the country. And this governments are wailing, oh, what are we going to do? We can't make any money. You're going to have to make less. And yet when everybody makes less, tax revenues go down. It is, you know, it's a death spiral. It's a death spiral because all the money went into that black hole, that $27 trillion black hole called the mortgage-backed security fraud. And it's going to destroy us unless we stand up the way Iceland did, throw the crooked bankers in jail, and fire the government that helped them. There is no other option. Look at the way the country is going right now. If we just sit and let the government keep on doing things the way it's been doing, what is the end result going to be? 300 million homeless people camped out in front of boarded-up houses across America. That's the image of America in 2011. And for the money junkies, that's just fine. They're going to own all those houses, and they don't care if you're all homeless in the streets. They'll be happy to loan you the money to move back into the house. It's your problem where you're going to have to come up with it because you're not allowed to print up the money out of thin air the way they are.
Well, I basically talked about the Federal Reserve Bank and Wall Street and the corruption.
Yeah.
And I just basically said, you know, it's not just about the teachers. I said, when you graduate high school, you might have to be competing with jobs as an illegal alien, busting tables or flipping burgers. You know, this is about you, too.
Absolutely right. I mean, right now, college graduates are not finding the jobs they were told were going to be waiting for them with that nice, expensive college degree. We have got a whole generation of students who went deeply into hock for as much as $250,000 for university and advanced degree, and they're working at McDonald's because the jobs that they were told that degree would get them are now all in other countries.
Yeah, and this is it. The thing is, we have to tell these young kids who's responsible. It's not the teachers. It's not the unions. I mean, you know, unions is another issue, but, you know, playing this class warfare, you know, it's the middle class. It's the teachers. We got to ignore that. We got to find out. We got to figure out what it is. It's just a psyop just to divert us away from what the government's doing.
That's exactly right, which also applies to the comprehensive annual financial reports. That's just another dead end like Nisara or UFOs or whatever else is going, or chemtrails and HAARP and all the other things they use to distract us. George, thanks a lot. I'm going to let you go. We're getting to the end of the show, and I got to get a couple of other things in here before we're done for the day. We're going to be spending tomorrow's show talking a lot about the lore of Easter. I don't care if they find it offensive or not. We're going to be talking about the history of Easter tomorrow, and might not be popular with a lot of people, but we're going to spend some time dealing with the myths and legends of ancient times here. Over in Gaza, as you know, there have been a couple of killings where the story as to who did it is very much in dispute. We have this Italian activist who was a major figurehead of next month's humanitarian aid flotilla to Gaza, and he was killed. Most people are saying he was assassinated. The government of Israel is claiming a Palestinian killed this pro-Palestinian activist, which makes no sense. And conveniently for Israel, this accused assassin was committed suicide when confronted by police. How very convenient. It's like Bruce Ivins and the FBI. Now the government of Israel can see anything they want about this guy. He's not alive to defend himself. And the government of Israel is going to say, yep, he did it, case closed, just the way the FBI did with Bruce Ivins. Yep, he's dead, he did it, case closed. It's amazing. You know, after a while, you begin to recognize what's going on because the patterns keep repeating time and time and time again here. Let's see. Another caller on the line, Brian in Georgia. Aloha, Brian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to make one follow-up comment to what you were saying about the fellow that had the people treating them as indentured servants and living in what amounted to a company town, and we're not supposed to have slavery anymore. Usually people think of slavery as just, you know, your physical body is shackled in chains, but also the courts have ruled that, you know, your labor, you know, your skills that, however you use your skill set to make a living, that's your property too. So if, someone is, taking, you know, if someone is taking the fruits of your labor, it's just, it's, you're practically a slave. I mean, you may not be a slave and, you know, enchained, but you're a slave nonetheless. If they're taking the fruit of your labor, then it's, they might as well be living in chains.
Well, you know, the image of slaves being in chains is kind of a media misrepresentation of what life was like, because if you're actually in chains, you're not very useful to anybody.
True.
And but they put out that image to basically say this is a slave in order to make it more difficult to recognize when you see slavery in front of you of another kind. 99% of slaves are held in their captivity by their beliefs. Roman slaves believed this was the way the world was supposed to be. Most antebellum slaves believed that was the way the world was supposed to be. Following the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation, they had a tremendous psychological adjustment to make to understanding that what had been going on before wasn't really the way the world was supposed to be. Most Americans are held slaves by their belief in benevolent government. And pretty much everybody's held slaves by...
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back. Last segment of our show today. And what I was saying before we got cut off there is that, you know, a large numbers of people in the world are held slave by their belief in the invisible man in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear. So there's all kinds of form of slavery, and the very best slaves are the ones who think they're actually free. And if you think you're free, go back and look at that 1040 form you just filed a week ago and see how much of a slave you really are. Because if you add up all the taxation in this country at all levels compared to what you make, you will find that government collectively takes about half of everything that you earn. And that's about the same ratio of work for yourself, work for the owners, that the blacks in antebellum South suffered under. The medieval serfs and the Roman slaves. Half the time they were taking care of themselves, and the other half of the time they had to do whatever they were told by the rulers. With the advent of money, they're able to basically, money is symbolic labor. They're able to basically extract labor from you by taking your money and then go over and give money to other people who do what they're told in order to get that money. That's the reason taxes keep you poor. So when they dangle that pretty printed piece of paper in front of you, you will do as you're told. Here, I'm going to give you, minimum wage. Go out there on a keyboard and start posting on articles and saying radiation is good for you to eat and the war in Libya is just and our politicians are honest and all the other politicians in the world are crooked. And people will do all kinds of things to get those little pretty printed pieces of paper. Prostitution comes in all shapes and forms, not just the women down there on Sunset Avenue. We see a lot of that in the media. Look at that story about how, public relations firms and Israel will go into the media and bribe reporters to report news a certain way. That's a form of prostitution. That's why we call them prostitutes. So slavery, as that last caller was saying, slavery can be very covert, and people who are actually slaves to a system may not recognize that that is, in fact, their situation. And again, it goes back to Rivero's rule of freedom. If you can say no, you're a free human being. If you can't say no, then you are a slave. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no. Alrighty, let's see. Other things, we're pretty much to the end of our show today. Over in Greene County, Ohio, apparently they're going through the voter rolls and discovering they've got a huge population of dead voters who are still voting. And as we head into 2012, we've got to be on guard for all the massive vote fraud they're going to use to keep Ron Paul from running here. And again, getting back to this situation of vote fraud, if a government cannot prove the accuracy and honesty of the elections by which they claim authority over the people, then the people are neither legally nor morally obligated to obey that government's dictates or to pay its bills. If we didn't vote for this government, why are we letting them take our money and giving it to their cronies on Wall Street? We have an epidemic of vote fraud in this country, and we have been ordered to use a vote system that cannot be verified and checked on. Why do we sit still for this? Why do we go along with it? If you want to live your life as a slave, that is your choice. If you think God is going to smile on you, if you are meek and humble and all the rest of it, but think about your children, the next generation. Do you want them to be born into servitude, into this life? I don't think so. I think we need to leave to their children a better world than was left to us. There is no higher purpose to life. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well, stay skeptical, stay angry, and aloha, America.
Dollar can